Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Thrones. Matt Datz, Tim Curry, welcoming into a preview podcast for episode 5. Only 2 more episodes after this. Almost unfathomable. First of all, Curry, welcome.
It's great to be here as always, and this is going to be our second to last preview pod ever.
It's unbelievable. Penultimate. It is unbelievable. So we just, earlier this week, released the analysis pod, put a bow on episode 4, and now looking ahead to episode 5. Where should we start? We always start trailer. Let's start trailer. They gave us next to nothing, but we've found some stuff.
So there's no title. Same thing they've been doing all season.
Of course.
They'll probably release it immediately following the episode. We'll get it out there on the instant take show. But yeah, so the trailer is about 30 seconds long. There's no quotes, no voiceover.
No words.
So that's unique to this trailer. But we'll go through some shots and let you know if there's anything to take away from it.
There's a few.
So it starts. When does it start? So it starts, we have Tyrion. He's walking toward Daenerys. He's at Dragonstone. You can tell we're familiar with the setting.
So they're back.
There's dragons on the walls. So it's Dragonstone. And the whole vibe of this trailer and the scenes with Tyrion especially are ominous.
They're ominous as sin.
So Tyrion, he's walking toward Daenerys, approaching her timidly. Just ominous look for Tyrion. Then we get to the graphic next on Game of Thrones. We cut away. So we open our next scene, and these first couple are slow, and then it picks up in the middle. But so next we get Cersei Lannister. She's looking over King's Landing, and we can't see the Northern armies anywhere, so it's not like this is a battle scene or anything. But we know that Miguel Sapochnik is directing, so you should expect some action.
Is this where Tommen took a tumble?
Could be.
Similar look, for sure.
Could be the same window, yeah.
But, go ahead.
So, we see Cersei, the mountains behind her. Qyburn's also back there. She's just looking over her land. And then we cut to outside of King's Landing. We have Jon has arrived. So, Jon Davos, Tyrion, and they're kind of overseeing the army and
they're right outside King's Landing.
Yes, they're outside the walls. And they're overseeing the battle that's about to take place.
So Tyrion makes it to battle time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, and it's a little surprising, I guess, that they didn't take Stannis' route and try to go Blackwater Bay, try to go through the Mudgate that Tyrion once defended. But I guess they're just kind of going, you know, muscle v. muscle with Cersei here.
And if you look at this trailer pic here, it's middle of the day, and it's just like, we got army in front of the castle. Like, it's like muscle on muscle, like you said.
You gotta say, it's daytime.
It is the light.
We should not have any sort of visual complaints.
I know, right? Talk about nitpicking. That's not nitpicking. It's just, you want to be able to see.
So then there's a shot of Jon just staring down what's coming. Intense stare.
He's ready
for battle. Now, here's where the editing starts picking up a little bit. We have the King's Landing Harbor, some ships, not sure whose. There's no sails up, but likely Euron's ready to defend. Then we get a shot of Euron. He's on the deck of one of his ships, and just typical Euron shot in his pirate gear.
Pirate guy.
Now we get some very quick shots, and this one, the next one, is probably
huge.
The one that I take the most away from, and it's Dany sitting on her throne in Dragonstone, the Dragonstone throne room, and there's not many people in the shot. It's very dark. It's tough to see, especially when you're watching at full speed, but when we look at this screenshot, we see Daenerys. There's two guards at her sides and two people in front of her, one of whom is clearly Tyrion Lannister.
Half-man.
And the person next to him, it's not Varys, we know that.
Slender guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's a little
more slender than.
Not as thick as Varys, but
thick with two C's.
Yeah, and but it's definitely Tyrion, and then the next shot shows Tyrion. It's probably similar, either walking up to the throne or standing there
he's not looking
staring
confident.
Up at Daenerys.
He's not looking smiley.
He's not looking good.
Yeah.
He's got some fear in his eyes, some intensity, very, very dramatic there from Tyrion.
Yes, for sure.
So we'll touch on that a little bit after we finish with these last few shots of the trailer. So we have another shot to take away some speculation from.
Huge.
And it's the Golden Company marching through the inner walls of King's Landing.
They're looking ripe. They're looking, you know.
Yeah, this is
formidable.
Like these guys are studs. Like this is something that this is what's coming.
Yes.
This is at least I would say even with the Unsullied, if not.
And they haven't got a lot of play. They haven't got a lot of play yet, but
we haven't seen what they can do, but their reputation is
it's the best.
Yeah.
Best in the
brightest. Supposed to be the best.
Yeah.
But the key thing to speculate on from this shot is the very center of the shot. Right, there's a lane between the rows of Golden Company soldiers, and right down the middle, there's this hooded figure going. It seems like they're going the opposite way. It's tough to tell.
Yes.
And
tall figure.
Tall, could be on horseback again. Not tough to tell. So the speculation here is one, it could be a prisoner. It could be someone who's wearing like a hood over their head because they're being dragged through King's Landing.
Marched through,
or it could be someone, a hooded figure going the opposite way, having just done business with Cersei and her army in King's Landing.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly some betrayal, who knows. But that's definitely,
we saw someone else.
I think it'll be interesting. It might end up being nothing, but
yes.
I think there's a good chance that it's someone important.
Who's the last hooded person we saw come up to a town? That, they may not be.
Yeah, so Jaime Lannister arrived in Winterfell with a hood on horse. It could be similar.
When Jaime's headed south, we know. And he's got to be coming on horse. I don't know.
And it would make sense for the Golden Company to let him through as well.
Jaime Lannister.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she's publicizing. We know that there's the intimate intrigue between the two of them, but it's not public like, he's just still the, I don't know.
I mean, well, she put the bounty out on him
privately
to Bronn, but that's not. She didn't announce that to everyone, as far as we know.
I don't think she wants people knowing. Jaime has betrayed me, or publicly. Go ahead.
So then we get a shot of Grey Worm
Revenge
standing,
Tour.
Yeah, Grey Worm Revenge Tour starts now. He's in front of the Unsullied, and it's tough to tell how many there are, but we can assume there's much less Unsullied than before, much fewer. And Grey Worm's Revenge Tour. He previously said that his only weakness was, Missandei. He's like worried about Missandei, worried about not seeing her again. Guess what? You're not going to see her again. So his weakness is gone, but it also might be like his undoing at this point. It might be he might get reckless, careless.
Yeah,
just
he's
so
gonna be playing, he's
enraged.
Gonna be, yes, exactly. He's going to be playing with nothing to lose, literally nothing to lose. Because I don't, I think his mindset now is. Target Cersei, target this, getting a W here at all costs. Because he lost what he was living for sure. And they really played that up. So
we have just a few more shots. Quick shot of Cersei. Quick shot of the Lannister soldiers. And they're kind of cranking this, the Qyburn's weapon, the scorpion, the ballista.
Took down Rhaegal.
And it's got some lion heads on it. So it's like custom made for the Lannisters.
Yeah, right.
And then they show the top of it. Again, they show the spearhead. It's locked into place.
Anti-aircraft.
And they're going to be aiming right at Drogon and Daenerys. Then we have a shot of the clouds. You can't see anything.
Maybe it's just a cloudy day.
So we see a cloudy sky. Nothing really to take away from it other than there's something coming.
Yes.
And this is the only sound we get on the episode. And it's the sound of a dragon screaming, dragon roaring. In the preview, not the episode. Obviously, that'd be awkward. But so that's the only sound we get for the preview. Then we see Euron. He's got his hand up in his face to block the sun. He's on his ship, and he kind of has this scared look, or at least a wondering look of what is coming to him at this point. Because, you have to assume it's a dragon. Because
he's looking in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
But why would he be so surprised or squinting?
I don't know. That's the question. Could it be? I don't know. I mean, if the only thing to expect would be Daenerys and Drogon.
Yeah.
So what else could possibly be coming that would confuse him or surprise him? I don't know. I mean, we saw Rhaegal go down. He was hit. He was under the water. And then even he confirmed to Cersei later in the episode that I saw him crash beneath the waves.
Yeah, I can't see him coming back.
I can't see him coming back either.
We'll get to a preview. We'll get to, you know, more preview few. The fact that he's looking in the sky is just a little weird. But before, you know, that's everything for the trailer, right?
Yes.
Trailer's done. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. All right, so that wraps up the trailer picks and the screenshots and all that. So now we can get into speculation and predictions and all that. So where do you want to start here, Curry?
So let's start with Jamie Lannister, who, while he's not the main storyline that's going on at the moment, he is an important one.
Roller coaster last episode.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we left off with Jamie. He went to bed with Brienne, found out about the Euron-Cersei victory, and now he's heading to King's Landing, leaving Brienne in tears.
Yes. What are his motives going down? We're uncertain. I feel like some people feel more confident about, like, either way. I know you're leaning. Where are you leaning?
So, you know, coming into the season, I was all in on Jaime being the one to kill Cersei.
Yes.
And a lot of people, the popular theory was, oh, Arya's going to kill Cersei with Jaime's face.
Like, yes.
Yeah, cool, guys. That'll be cool. Yeah, I like that. No, I mean, that's still a possibility, I guess, whatever. But I was all on Jaime. I said, no, he's got to kill Cersei. Like, it's his redemption arc. That's his final act of redemption.
And you double down after Arya gets the big Night King kill.
Yeah, so after Arya killed the Night King, I'm like, all right, she's had her moment. It wouldn't really be right or fair for her to have another huge kill.
The two big kills.
Yeah, because it's not Game of Arya Stark. This is Game of Thrones. Like, this is, there's a lot of characters that have a lot of motivation and need their moment, you know?
Yeah, and those are really the only two we see doing it.
Right. Yeah, killing Cersei, I mean, now I could see Jon doing it since he didn't get to kill the Night King. I could also see Daenerys doing it.
Via dragon. Yeah, I could see her also, she's going to lose, and she just takes a little cyanide or whatever she gave Olenna. And I don't know if she's one to let herself get actually killed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But we'll see.
But, so back to Jaime. The big question is, what is his motivation? Why is he going to King's Landing?
Yeah.
We know it has something to do with Cersei, obviously.
Yeah.
And the theories I have here on this, one, it could be, the obvious one is to kill Cersei.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really make sense based on how he left Brienne.
Yeah.
It could be to try to save Cersei,
or
it still doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. Nothing really makes sense with what he said.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher for sure. And the one that I think kind of makes sense, at least
more so than
the others, is it could be to save the baby. And that's the only thing I can really see that's like, all right, he understands that Cersei's evil and she's going to lose. He understands that. Yeah, like, he understands Cersei's evil and is going to lose, but they have a child and they have a future. Like, that's their house.
Yeah.
He could save the baby.
But he could have also said that.
He could have said that. Brienne could have helped. I don't know.
What he said, though, was like, I'm full of hatred, too. And he, like, brought himself, we've seen this character arc go forward, pretty much get complete with knighting Brienne and fighting for the living. And now it's taking the step back where he's, I did this to Brienne. I did this, you know, for Cersei. I did all this. I'm a bad guy. So it's odd. It's a head scratcher.
It is. And the one thing I'm really hoping to see with Jaime going to King's Landing, I don't know if we're going to see it because in the trailer we saw he's on his ships, but I'm hoping we could get some Jaime and Euron combat.
Yes.
And we haven't seen Euron in much, like, hand-to-hand combat. There was when they took Yara, like, he was pretty solid, hopping on the boat and battling against
pirate,
the Ironborn.
Yeah.
But he's always been on the water for the most part. So
yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see if him and Jaime get to square off.
Yeah, and I meant to mention this in the analysis, but maybe one of the things that shook up Jaime was the fact that, like, Euron kind of solidified his position with what he was able to do with killing the dragon and, taking Missandei. I don't know if that was disclosed at that point, but, Euron has solidified his position in, like, Jaime's backyard. So
yeah.
Now Jaime's sitting there thinking, like, shit, okay, I left, and now I'm sitting here in the north with Brienne of Tarth, and Euron, that son of a bitch, is down there with Cersei, like, making the shots and making plays, and I'm just sitting up here.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be motivation-wise, it can make sense as to why he's got to get back there, but we don't get really any insight into what he plans to do, which is, I think, why it's good to start there.
So sticking with some of the minor roles before we get to the larger battle, we have the Hound and Arya are also going down to King's Landing, and they both, kind of similar to Jaime, they both say to each other that they have unfinished business.
Yes. They don't plan on coming back.
Yes.
That was a huge.
Yeah, so the obvious one is the Hound. Clegane Bowl.
Clegane Bowl. CB.
I think it has to be this episode.
I think it's locked in for this episode.
I think it has to be this episode. This is Sapochnik. This is a big battle episode. And I don't think it's going to be like a trial by combat type thing where it's just them and all eyes on them. But I think in the midst of a battle, or at least like towards the end of the battle, after the Hound gets through, like it'll just be him and his brother, the Mountain, mano a mano, you know, leading to, because if they're going to get to Cersei, they have to go through the Mountain first.
Yes, for sure. And to get macro thrones here, it's like second to last episode of the season is where shit pops off.
Yes, so, penultimate episode of the season has always been, going back to season one, when Ned Stark died, that's always been like the shocker of the season.
Exactly. So I don't think it makes sense to leave. I think we're going to get a lot of things finished in this episode, in this 80 minutes, before we get, we're not going to get a break mid-battle, I don't think. It's going to be a lot of finishing the story in the last episode, I think, but I think, in terms of like, we're not going to be like, oh, next week we'll get Clegane Bowl. I think it has to come this week.
I think so too.
If it's going to happen. What happens in Clegane Bowl? That's what I want to know.
What happens in Clegane Bowl? Well,
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
The Mountain wins. Thrones in. It makes sense. We're all rooting for the Hound to a certain extent, for different reasons. But it makes so much sense to me for him to, for the Mountain to lose. And while Arya doesn't get the Cersei kill, she gets the Mountain kill in some way. Gets the Hounds back, so we get a little Thronesian with the Mountain winning, and then we also get a little of this soft side that we've got in this season with Arya getting the redemption.
Yeah,
she's on the list too.
Exactly. That would be great for the narrative, for the storyline, for everyone's character arc. Arya gets revenge for the Hound, which they clearly have a soft spot for each other, regardless of the language they use.
Yeah.
And she crosses the Mountain off her list. She gets double revenge there.
Yes.
But there's another party that's got some stake in the Mountain, and that's Grey Worm.
Yes.
So I could see Grey Worm wanting a shot at the Hound, or the Hound, at the Mountain.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would be, I don't think he's the kind of guy that is going to finish off the Mountain. I think it would make more sense for Grey Worm to, you know, Like we said, he's got nothing to lose. He's going to be really angry and reckless. I could see him getting reckless and going after the Mountain and dying. Then maybe the Hound steps in, and then maybe Arya finishes him off.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Hound is wounded and survives, or maybe Arya just gets revenge.
And with Grey Worm, I think similar to, I mean, Jorah already got this play, but protecting Dany would be another way for Grey Worm to go out.
That's true. I think
yeah, that was more
since we saw it with Jorah and that was more his thing. I think Grey Worm going going down at the hands of the Mountain it'd be sad, but I think it'd be fitting.
Yeah, I think we're set up for a reckless Grey Worm death regardless, and not like reckless like he did anything wrong, but it's more like he wants to win so bad that he will take a chance that, you know, someone who doesn't have his revenge tour mindset might not take. So let's continue on here.
So, some more preview, some more speculation here.
Yeah.
And we talked about this last week for our preview episode. Howland Reed.
Yes.
We did not see him, unfortunately.
We have some Twitter followers that were dying to see Howland Reed.
Yeah, we're followed by Howland Reed on Twitter. He's like, yeah, I'm showing up, but nah.
It must have been fake news.
So,
or ended up on the editing floor.
So at some point in the episode, when Tyrion and Varys are talking about Jon's secret, Varys says it's not a secret anymore, because if 8 people know, it's information, it's knowledge, it's not a secret.
Hundreds will soon know.
But there's actually 9 people that know, including Howland Reed.
Howland.
And we know that Hallam Reed, he's the Lord of Greywater Watch, which is the southernmost house in the north, and it's fairly close to the King's Road, which is the road that John took, is currently taking, I guess, to get to King's Landing. So yes. Is he going to stop there? It's a long episode, we know that.
Yeah.
He's got to get to King's Landing. We know he gets there. He's got to get to either King's Landing and or Dragonstone.
And then a battle has to happen.
Yeah, so I don't think...
Yeah.
I think last episode would have been the time to do it, and we're not going to get it,
Not only does he have to stop, talk to the Big Howland, but he's got to also, like, the information has to get disseminated, and then, like, there has to be more, you know, there's more steps than just a little, you know, stop by. No Howland.
So, yeah, I was hoping we would get some more Mirror or Bran, some way to wrap up their storyline a little better than the way it was, but... Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like we're going to get that.
Not going to happen, unfortunately, for some of our followers out there. And, we nitpick a little bit, but, you know, like, I guess Tyrion and Varys have no reason to really question Jon's lineage. It's just taken for what it's worth.
Yeah, and I think...
We don't need that third party.
I mean, we have two episodes left. That's the thing. Like, if this was Old Thrones, if this was a couple seasons ago, or if we had more seasons to go,
yes,
then I think we would get a whole episode of that, or at least they would show it, I think. But
we just don't have time.
Don't have time at this point.
Got it. So let's talk Jon Snow. Let's talk him coming down. My thought is we don't get advancement on like rightful heir lineage before battle, right?
Yeah,
it makes sense.
I think that Jon at this point is not going to be focused on that.
No.
It's going to be Tyrion and Varys working behind the scenes that are focused on getting Jon's support or deciding what to do in terms of King Jon, King Aegon, whatever you want to call him.
Like, yes.
I don't think Jon himself is going to be worried about the battle. Because
He should be.
Yeah, Tyrion says that. He says maybe Cersei will win and it won't matter.
Well,
maybe
one of them
will
die.
Yeah, so... John's got to worry about the battle first.
Got it. Now let's just talk plausible next two epis real quick. They win the battle. They win the battle. Dany, Jon live. Is just the next episode just going to be like, let's decide who gets to rule? Like that just seems, there has to be more. That's why I'm conflicted in terms of like, is this just going to be like a battle episode? All right, good guys win. They lose some people. Good guys win, and then episode 6 wraps it up. When there is this, you know, elephant in the room of the lineage thing.
Well, we know that it was teased that the ending is bittersweet.
Yes,
and I think that a bittersweet ending for them, if they are to win the battle, a bittersweet ending with them to ultimately decide, like, not to be together.
Okay.
And this was something I was thinking of after the beginning of last week's episode, because Daenerys says to Jon when they have their scene together, like, I see the way they look at you,
yeah,
and it's the way people looked at me, but never here.
Yeah.
So, like, just that line there kind of planted this idea in my head that maybe there's a chance Daenerys will decide ultimately to go back to Essos and rule in Essos.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to staying in King's Landing, where she's seen as an outsider, a foreigner.
Yeah.
And she'll always have the Mad King hanging over her head. Like, yeah.
And depending how this battle goes, she could be, you know, not as revered as she wants.
Oh, yeah,
to.
Yeah. If she goes full-on Mad Queen, as she might, then it might be... Everyone is going to rally around Jon and be like, we don't want you here. And it might be in her best interest to be like, all right, I think I'm just going to go back to Essos.
And this, we talk plot armor sometimes. Since this lineage thing and rightful heir thing and Tyrion and Varys is brewing and happening now, I feel like there's just no way that Jon or Dany die in the battle.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, yeah, they have more to give to this story than dying in battle. They have to. There has to be some sort of payoff to come with the internal conflict they have.
That's the thing. Because we talked preseason pod that I was all in on only one of them will live, if not all. Sorry, only one of them will live, if not both will die. That being said, you know, they're both still here, and they both are wearing some pretty heavy plot armor in terms of their lineage. So this actually cues us up for a great...
So, yeah, I mean, they're both still here, and only one person can sit on the Iron Throne, ultimately.
Exactly.
So we have an exciting new offer for our listeners in terms of who sits on the Iron Throne. Ball Street Trading, new gaming company that offers live trading for sports. They're also huge Game of Thrones fans, and they want to use their exchange for the final season. So Ball Street Trading is offering a real-time prediction game for Game of Thrones fans to predict who will end up sitting on the Iron Throne. Buy the living and sell the dead as you watch live. So the game is just like the stock market, where you get to buy and sell shares of characters. It's all in real time, so you can make your picks anytime before, during, and after the episodes. So we signed up and started training before episode one, and I have to admit, it's actually very easy to figure out, and it's more than a little addicting. So, I mean, lately we've seen characters go down. We saw the Night King go down. He was up there on the exchange, and he had some support. Not a lot, but he was on there. Now he's at zero. So make sure, if you're playing, that you don't get stuck with someone... You're not stuck with investments when someone's about to die.
Yes.
You want to sell off before they die,
sure. You can trade mid-show. That's sweet about it.
Exactly. So it's totally free to play, and they're also giving away free money to the top 20% of people who sign up and trade. So I actually won free money on the NCAA championship game the very first time I played Ball Street.
Love it.
And so anyone can do it. If I could do it the first time, you can do it.
Yes,
so absolutely. Our listeners, you guys need to get in this contest, because with our help, you guys can win some free money. So you can compete against us at Right After GOT on the Ball Street Trading app. Right now we're sitting in 81st percentile,
which is
in the money.
Let's go.
So if you listen to us, you could win yourself some money. So there's never been anything like this. Game of Thrones is a perfect place to try it. So download the Ball Street Trading app on your smartphone. Check out the link in the show notes or on our Twitter to play.
Awesome. We'll tweet out all the info you guys need. It's really, really fun, really neat, really innovative. And the mid episode stuff is awesome. I think it's fantastic. Last episode, you see Danny slipping away. Like, maybe you want to sell.
Yeah, and if you look at the market on the app, you can see at the point in the episode when Danny started dropping a little bit, yep. John rose a little bit.
Yes.
You can see the point where the Night King died two episodes ago. You look at the market, and all of a sudden it just goes boom. It goes from like, I mean, he wasn't that high to begin with, but he just bottoms out.
Absolutely. So it's awesome, awesome stuff. And yeah, we're kind of talking macro endgame throne sitter here, which is true in terms of, you know, what's going on with Ball Street. These two are going into this battle, you know, wearing this plot armor. It's just, do we open up with the battle next? I don't know. Like, where do we open? It's like the political game can't advance until the battle happens, and the battle in the screenshots doesn't appear to happen until after some things go down. So it's like, what can go down pre-battle?
Pre-battle,
Danny's saying, no, we're going all out. I'm not listening to my advisors. We're doing this thing, you know, burn them all style.
Yeah, I mean, all the Dragonstone stuff, it could be pre-battle, but it also could be post-battle. But I think it could be like post-battle in terms of, like, they retreat. And, yes. Like, the scenes with Tyrion and Daenerys,
yeah.
That could be post-battle, but I would say it's more likely that it's pre-battle. And it's, her, like you said, it's her deciding, we're going in, we're getting fire and blood, and Tyrion is like, we can't do that. Or he could just completely undermine her and put plans in motion to
usurp her.
Usurp, yeah, not usurp, but yeah, to usurp her for John, to unseat her, you know.
And I mean, that's the card they have in their hand, is Daenerys. This is what actually is happening. You want to do this. This is the way you want to do it. We're advising you not to. We've advised you this far. You not listening to us. Here's the deal. We know about John, and there's two ways that this can happen. We can go win this battle the right way, and you can be the queen, or we can put in a place Jon Snow. We'll tell everyone, but we'll make sure Jon, if you do win, you won't be on the throne. So choose wisely. And that would be like the political maneuvering that these guys were talking about last episode with, like, things, what can we do? You know, what's next? What's possible? What's the best way to go about this?
Yeah, that's the play that they have up their sleeve. That's what they can use leverage.
As leverage, exactly. Leverage is the perfect word there. So that's what I think we can get pre-battle. And then we got battle itself.
Battle itself, I'm very concerned based on the writing, based on the showrunners, what we've seen in the past and the way the season's progressing, very concerned we're going to get another Deus Ex Machina plot device. Yes. Where someone comes in last minute and saves the day.
There's two candidates.
So, yeah, so there's two candidates, two theories that we have. One could be Dario Naharis.
Yes.
And the Second Sons.
Familiarize the people who might forget.
So it's Daenerys's forces over in Essos in the Bay of Dragons. Dario Naharis, he's the leader of the Second Sons, which is a group of mercenaries that swore yep. allegiance to Daenerys.
They're holding stuff down.
Yeah, it was like her lover, her boy toy over in Essos, yeah. And she left him there.
And Tyrion, I believe it was Tyrion who said, it's like, you're always going to have this in your back pocket. You know, if you leave him here and, you know, everything stays, you'll have a friend here if you need him at some point. And
so,
they might need him.
And the other thing that makes me think they're going to come into play is something like the cast interviews, specifically Bran, the actor who plays Bran, Isaac Hempstead, right? He said something like, you know, there's a lot of loose ends, and
yeah.
the loose ends are all going to get tied up.
Yeah.
And I think that's a loose end at this point.
Yes.
Like, is it really tied up that Daenerys just left these people over in Essos?
And they have no vested interest in Cersei's endgame. I mean, not Cersei, in Daenerys's endgame or life? You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
I mean, this is their queen.
Exactly.
And they don't want to see her die or lose over in Westeros. So,
yes.
So there's one candidate to come in, save the day out of nowhere.
I would be more cool with the first candidate than I would be with the second candidate.
So the second candidate, and this is the first we've heard of them since ever, I guess, is the Prince of Dorne. So the current Prince of Dorne, we heard Varys
said.
Mentioned him last week saying that. The War Council said the current Prince of Dorne, he's also pledged allegiance.
Yeah.
He's going to support you. So where the hell has this guy been?
I mean,
we just fought the dead. I understand Dorne's all the way south. You're the last ones that have to worry about the Night King. But
yes.
Where the hell you been, guy, bro?
Yeah. What the? Now you swear allegiance after they get the dub? Convenient.
Yeah, convenient. You know? Look, I don't know. And then the thing is, the last we saw of Dorne, like the actual kingdom of Dorne, Sunspear, we saw the Sand Snakes had their coup. They took over. They killed Prince Doran.
Yes.
They killed Myrcella. They killed Prince Trystane. So
they were raising hell.
Yeah. And of course, we saw the Sand Snakes. They pledged allegiance to the remaining ones, pledged their allegiance to Daenerys. Didn't work out for them.
Yeah. Get smoked.
And like that's it. So we never found out what happened to Dorne, who's left to rule Dorne, or even like, yeah, we were left in the dark on Dorne, and now all of a sudden, seasons later, we find out, oh, there's a new ruler and he's supporting you.
And they drop it in, they drop that line in, not by mistake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's not something that they're just saying
filler
because they realize that they forgot about Dorne. Because
no.
Yeah, they
there's
they
no could, upside.
Yeah, there was no reason for them to say that other than to get you thinking about it.
Exactly. And hey, you know, Varys did say, you know, last episode that the Prince of Dorne, I'll pop a third candidate in there. Don't think this candidate can save the day per se, but can make an impact on the Euron side, which is Yara Greyjoy.
Yes.
And I think this is likely. She just went to the Iron Islands to chill, you know, to sit out everything. I don't think so.
So, well, they said that she went to the Iron Islands to like reclaim them, but
yeah.
I mean, Euron wasn't there. So like,
yeah,
good job reclaiming it, I guess.
No, yeah. Against no one. We see Yara Greyjoy this episode.
I think we have to. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Definitely.
I think in that preview, maybe what he could be looking at. I know he's looking, Euron's looking in the air. But maybe it's just looking at the sails or whatever. I think this season's almost like fan service-iness, not a word, but Yara coming at Euron and like making a play would fit the bill for that so much.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Can she save the day though? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's
who she got.
I think I'd be much happier if like Dorne shows up and their army is there for the start of the battle, the way that
yes.
Melisandre was.
That's fine.
Because I don't think that they're some sort of juggernaut that's going to determine the outcome.
No.
Like, I'm fine with them showing up and being there. Same thing with Yara. I'm okay with her being there to battle Euron on the seas, being in the Bay of Blackwater, Blackwater Bay, I'm okay with that. Like, I don't think either those forces are strong enough to show up last minute and win the battle the way that we've seen so often in the past.
Got it. And then Dario, it's just, we need to, like you just said, we need to see, like, messages being sent to Dario, or, like, it needs to be discussed before it happens.
Yeah, I would like one hint that he still is a thought.
Yes.
You know, if he just shows up unannounced, it's bullshit.
We might not be here Sunday night.
Show's canceled.
The show might be canceled. Yeah, and I think they could. I think it would have been awesome to be like, hey, like, when they're in that war council, like, hey, let's call up Dario. Let's tell him to meet us at Dragonstone.
Yeah, or even, like, if they wanted to be coy about it, just mention, like, oh,
we do have friends in the East.
Yeah, we have some friends that can help. So, I don't know, just something, you know?
Yes.
Something to get you thinking, something to be like, oh, remember him.
And the fact that we're so almost, like, anxious about this, that it makes me feel like there's a reason, because, like, it really could happen. And it would be a bummer.
It would for sure
be a bummer. But I think there's a legit, unfortunate, legit chance that it happens. Anything else you want to talk preview?
We broke down the trailer. We talked Hallam Reed, talked Dario, talked Prince of Dorne.
Varys and Tyrion. I'll go over, under 1.5. So are both alive at the end of this episode?
Are both alive at the end of this episode. That's tough. I will 100% say that both are not alive. One of them is dying before the end of the season. And
really?
I wouldn't be shocked if both of them do. But for this episode...
There's two left. You're saying...
I know. But I'm saying, like, that could be next episode's drama.
Yeah.
Could be like, you know, what do we do about these two guys that are trying to betray Daenerys? So...
I think...
Damn, this is tough. Especially we know it's a battle, that there's some action in this...
And we know that Varys left very ominously.
Yeah, and we also know that, as Melisandre said to Varys, you know, that I have to die in this strange country just as you do. So, you know, Varys is marked for death. I mean, all humans are going to die eventually, but I don't know, man. It's not a good... I would rather her not have said that if I were Varys.
Yeah, right? I'll say one of them dies. We're not walking out of episode 5 with both of them. Based on the ramping up of the Mad Queen, the conversations that are had, the trailer shots.
I think that they're both alive, but they're definitely not both where we saw them, where they've been. Like they're not both going to be by Daenerys' side. I think.
Whoa.
I think at least one of them is completely jumped ship.
On the Jon ship or the Cersei ship?
The Jon ship. And based on the trailer with Tyrion, I'm worried that Tyrion is, like, going to get caught or something. Like, I think Varys, he's a spider. He's got the little birds. He's the master of whispers. Yeah. I think Varys is going to get out of this. I think he's a little craftier than Tyrion. I think Tyrion is...
Tyrion's a little blind.
I think he's going to slip up and get himself in trouble.
Got it. So, but both are alive at the end of this episode.
I'm going to say they're both alive at the end of the episode.
Got it. John and Danny both live in this episode?
100%.
100%. They got too much to...
Trading Ball Street, keep investing in them.
They're paying off.
They're
for sure. Drogon.
We're talking preview.
We talked about mass produced.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
The scorpions, the ballistas, they are everywhere.
We saw how... Boom.
Rhaegal went down. I mean, Rhaegal was injured, but he went down from 3 shots.
Yeah.
Drogon, I think... I don't think... I mean, yeah. I think he goes down. I don't think that a dragon can survive to the end of the series.
Yes.
I think it's, like, too powerful of a weapon. Let's say it goes down. I don't think he's going down easy. I think it's going to be a battle. I think it could be, like, 1-1-esque, where 1-1 was just an absolute house...
Beast.
You know, dominant MVP-type player in the... Battle of Bastards. I think we're going to get that from Drogon.
With Dany on it, though, that's what gets sketchy. He's like, is she going to be mounted up? And when he goes down, I don't know.
Well, she might get thrown off, and he might just go to work himself.
Yeah, so. I would like that for sure. So he's dead at the end of this episode? I think so.
I think so, too.
I think so. Yeah. Got it. I'm trying to think if there's any more on-the-spot questions. We didn't discuss this beforehand for anyone.
There's one huge name I feel like you're going to ask if they survive. this episode?
Cersei Lannister?
Yeah.
Cersei Lannister, dead or alive, end of this episode.
This is a big one. Because here's the thing.
This is the series.
This is the series. We have two episodes left. I don't think she's surviving to the end. What better time to kill her than this week's episode? We know it's a long episode. I'm going to say Cersei dies this week.
Wow. Cersei Lannister dead this week.
So, and here's the thing. I was checking Ball Street earlier because I do have some Cersei shares, and her price is at an all-time low. Like, it can't get any lower. So, yes. I'm just, like, there's no reason for me to sell them now because it's already as low as it can be.
Yes.
So, like, I'm just going to hold on to them, and then if she dies, I'm screwed. Maybe I'll try to sell for, like, you know, a fraction of a penny.
Yeah, a fraction of the law. She's dead this episode.
I think she does.
At the hand of?
At the hand of...
I think at the hand of Cersei. I'm on the hand of Cersei Lannister.
I'm going to stick with Jaime.
It's actually prophecy. What prophecy hasn't come true?
If we're going to get into that, I mean, the whole Azor Ahai thing was never on the show.
Yeah.
And also the Valonqar, that word was never on the show. Like the little brother part of Cersei's prophecy, never on the show. So
Just the
kids dying, yeah. And that, you know, so a more beautiful queen would come or whatever.
Like, Jon Snow's not a beautiful queen. But at the hand of Jaime Lannister?
Yeah, I think I would bet Jaime.
Wow. Even after his Brienne talk? I'm going to say at the hand of Cersei Lannister. I don't think Cersei Lannister lets anyone besides Cersei Lannister take her out. Have we seen her have things ready before if things go south?
In Battle of Blackwater, she had like a poison pill ready for Tommen, who was like a child at that point.
Okay, true. Yes. So I could see that. Qyburn must be cooking something up for that, I think, in my opinion. I don't think she lets anyone, no one lets her bleed her, you know, bleed her own blood.
Yeah, I could see her going full on Mad Queen.
Throwing a pinch, mountain's done. Yeah, mountain's out. It's like, shit.
I could see her taking her ball and going home. She says, "Oh, you want King's Landing? Too bad. Boom! Like, here's the rest of my wildfire." Something like that, you know.
Got it. Arya Stark, she's gonna make a play. You just know she is,
for sure. But I don't think Cersei's hers.
So I'll go with that. So I'm gonna stick with Clegane Bowl. Hound goes down. Arya gets revenge. That's Arya's second big play.
I mean, if all these things happen, or if even half these things we're talking about happen, we're set up for one of the best episodes of all time.
Exactly.
And it's the penultimate episode of the series, let alone the season. Like, the second to last episode of the season is always great. Second to last episode of the series, it should be one of the greatest of all time, right?
It's got to be. So, Pacek, you know. So,
yeah, we got our boy Miguel. Like, I'm excited now.
It's going to be
awesome. It's only... It's so early in the week that we're doing this. Like, usually we're doing it a little later in the week, but man, I'm looking forward to this weekend already.
It's going
to
be awesome. Anything else before we shut it down?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
It's tough,
it's
man.
It's too long. It's too long.
After when next time we're up behind the sticks here, it'll be one episode to go, which will be unthinkable almost. Not. It's flown by for sure.
I'm excited. I can't wait. Make sure if you're listening, rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate the positive feedback we're getting. Follow the Twitter right after GOT. We'll tweet back and forth with you during the week. A lot of good content out there.
Yeah, we'll be landing this plane with you in studio the rest of the way. Cannot wait to wrap this puppy up. You know, don't want it to end, but just are so excited to see where it goes and how they shut this thing down. But until then, Sunday night, join us again for Tim Curry, Matt Datz. We'll see you again right after Thrones.